And then, dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Emmanuel is such a familiar name that we hear this time of year, but for many churches, they have taken this name to be the name of their church. And so it's familiar for them all year round. The first LCMS church that I had joined when I was young in my walk of faith was named Emmanuel. It always holds a special place in my heart. But then from there, I joined Trinity. And then from there, I served my vicarage internship church named Emmanuel. And now my first call is here to Trinity. So you can't tell me there's not some sort of pattern there. Unless I'm just some sort of conspiracy theorist. Well, anyway. But one of the funniest things I remember about my vicarage church in Baltimore is that there are two LCMS churches named Emmanuel. There's an I-manual and an E-manual. And if you don't pronounce that difference, somehow everybody in Baltimore knows. They all know that there are these two churches that have the same exact name. But do you know what the difference is between I-manual and E-manual? It's those pesky Germans. See, the I-manual is the German spelling, and E-manual is the English spelling. But while this is a name that many churches have taken, it's a name for us that has eternal consequences. Now, some context for our lesson from Isaiah. Isaiah is sent to proclaim God's message of judgment and hope to the two kingdoms. Now, due to the idolatry, due to their sin, due to the problems of politics, due to the problems that said that you can only worship in Jerusalem or you can worship in other places, these two kingdoms split after Solomon's reign. Yeah, Solomon, that's right. So we have the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And very little good is happening at this time. I mean, they are really just not doing very well as God's people. God says in the beginning of Isaiah that he is refusing their sacrifices. He's just not accepting them. He doesn't care for them. He doesn't want them. Because these people are no better than the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. You recall Sodom and Gomorrah was wiped off the face of the earth because of their unbelievable amount of sin. They're no better. They are described as a promiscuous person who's going around sleeping with whoever they want to. They're no longer faithful to one. They are just bringing judgment on themselves. But in the context of our lesson from Isaiah 7 today, Isaiah is sent to the king by God to proclaim a message. Now, when the Lord sends Isaiah to meet King Ahaz is at the aqueduct inspecting the water. He's not at his throne. He's not enjoying his lavish kingly wealth. He's preparing for a siege. So there's armies that are surrounding Jerusalem, and he's making sure that they have enough water to survive. And Isaiah is sent to Ahaz to proclaim a message simply saying, trust God. See, they're not going to take you. They're not going to let you be demolished. God is not going to let this happen if you trust in him. Trust in him. And to confirm this, to confirm your trust, to give you an even more stronger base for this trust, ask for a sign, anything. As we read in the lesson today, as low as Sheol, so as low as beneath the crust of the earth itself and higher than heaven, ask for a sign. And then Ahaz says, no, which is preposterous. But so, I love the line, is it too much for you to weary men that you have to weary God too? Is it too much for you to annoy your brothers and sisters that now you have to annoy everybody else too? And that's kind of the feeling I get from this. And it's almost a scoff of, whatever, I'm going to tell you anyway. Behold, look, the virgin will conceive and she will bear a son and you will call him Emmanuel. But while Ahaz trusts in the Lord, they are not besieged. Things later don't go Ahaz's way. His corruption keeps getting in the way. He continues on that path of idolatry and rebellion. And the sad reality is that he dies just like the rest of them, lost and forgotten. Israel's rebellion doesn't stop either. Their idolatry continues to get into the way, and this evil leads them to the path of exile, where now they are gone. God blessed them with this land. He gave it to them for them to be his holy people, his holy nation. And since they aren't, he, like a father punishes his son, he punishes the people of Israel by taking this land away from them. But yet, even in the midst of all of this, God is still working. God is still keeping his promises. God is still working his purposes. Even in the midst of all of this sin and evil, God is still there. God is keeping his word. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. There are many among the children of Israel who are still holding on to that hope. And Matthew continues that hope in our gospel lesson. We find a woman named Mary who is pregnant, even though she's not done what is necessary to become pregnant. If you don't know what that means, go ahead and ask your parents about it. But this woman is now expecting a child. This child is conceived in her womb, and she is pregnant. And then we see that she bears a son, and they call him Jesus. Wait, hold on. So they called him Jesus. They didn't call him Emmanuel. So what's going on here? And Matthew does a great job. This is why Matthew's gospel is so important, because Matthew is writing particularly to the Jews. And so he is very concerned with making sure that they're seeing how all these prophecies are fitting into place to show that Jesus is the Messiah, is the Christ, is the one that we have been waiting for. And so Matthew does that important turn in verse 22 where he says that all of this is happening to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, that the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. But also, as Matthew is writing to people who might not speak a whole lot of Hebrew, he explains to us that Emmanuel means God with us. This is so important to see this. That Jesus is born of Mary. That Joseph does not leave her but sticks with her to help her raise this child. All the way for thousands of years, this message of hope, people have been waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally the time is here. But as I started off in the service, I think it's always really important for us to ask ourselves, why do we care? Why is this name still important to us? Why do we always bring it up at Christmas? Can't we just focus on the birth accounts? Why do we keep looking back at all of these prophecies? How is Jesus Emmanuel? How is he God with us? And actually, kind of interesting is it's not found in this little baby boy, but in the life of Jesus. While the virgin did conceive and bear a son, it is found in the life and the death and resurrection of Jesus. That is how he is God with us. That is the most important fact to us as sinners. Because the problem is that none of us are innocent. We are all guilty of our sin. We are just as bad as Ahaz and Israel. We try and think that we're better than them, but we're not. And so we need salvation. And even though God time and time again forgives and keeps on working, we still have this problem of sin that needs to be taken care of. And so God comes to us, fulfilling all of his word for us, but then is also there for us to be our Savior. God's not here for a nice, pleasant visit. As lovely as the entire Christmas season is, God is here to die. God is here to suffer in our place. He is condemned. He is punished. He is crucified. He is abandoned by absolutely everyone. This God with us is now God in the midst of sin, in the midst of death. But yet through this great work, our sin, our wrongs, all those times where we followed our own way instead of God's way, all of this debt is now cleared. And we're forgiven, and all of those sins are forgotten. And then Christ rises to seal the deal and to bring life and immortality to all people, to all who believe in Him and call on Him. But as we still continue, if we're really honest with ourselves, we still struggle with sin. We still come together every week and asking God for forgiveness, because most of us, once we leave this building, still fall into sin. Because we're not perfect. We struggle with this. And so we question, how can God keep forgiving us when we are no better than sinful Israel, who continually fell and failed? But looking at Paul's letter to the Romans, which we have the beginning of, we continually see throughout that entire letter how God works through sinful people. Because St. Paul was called to be an apostle, to be probably the greatest missionary our church has ever seen. And he was a very sinful and broken man. But God works through broken, sinful people to accomplish his purposes. Just as Mary and Joseph were just as sinful and broken as the rest of us, God works through them to bring about the Emmanuel, to be with us. And while we fail and we still struggle, God's love is so profoundly there for us always. This is what it means for Him to be our Emmanuel, to be God with us. Is it wasn't just once, but it's always. The end of Matthew's gospel, I am with you always, till the very end. And as Christmas is just a couple days away, as Nancy did a great job of reminding us all, this is all about the Christ. That regardless of the sins of mankind, the Christ is here. God still accomplishes His will. So as you hear these many words in this season, I want you to call all these things to mind and remember what it truly means for Him to be with us. That He was this promised newborn who came into our world, who then grew to be our God who is with us, who is then our God abandoned for us, who is then our God who rose for us, who is now still our God with us. That God worked through all of these sinful people to bring about His purposes, especially the purpose of life and salvation. This is our message that we carry through Advent and into Christmas, onto Epiphany, into Lent and Easter, and every day of our lives. And this is the message that God works through even you to proclaim. So don't be shy. Because not only was God with us, but God still is with us. And He continues to forgive us and make us new to bring about His will of forgiveness and salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.